Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning and welcome to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor at St. Benedict de Moor Parish in the Hill District and also the pastor at St. Mary Magdalene Parish, serving the communities of the East End, Homewood, Point Breeze, and Wilkinsburg sections of the city of Pittsburgh. This morning, we have a very informative show on tap and a rare opportunity to speak with a very special guest. We're getting an inside look into education and the social issues in our Catholic schools statewide and how they relate to our Catholic faith. With us in studio this morning is Mr. Sean McAleer. Sean is the Director for Education at the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference. Joining also this morning is Michelle Peduto, the Diocese of Pittsburgh Director of Catholic Schools. Sean and Michelle, welcome this morning to Catholic Education Plus.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Sean, can you explain to our listeners this morning what exactly is the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference and what it does and what you do?
Sure, Father. First, good morning to all you and all your listeners. The Pennsylvania Catholic Conference is the public affairs agency for the Catholic Diocese of Pennsylvania. We work directly with the bishops of Pennsylvania, and the PCC is made up of four different working parts: social concerns, hospitals, nursing homes, and communications and education. I'm the director of education for the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference, so I oversee and monitor education policy for over 300 Catholic schools, pre-K to 12, schools that enroll over 145,000 students in the Commonwealth. The PCC Education Department, which is my department, has two representatives from each of the eight Catholic dioceses that offer pre-K to 12 education in Pennsylvania. I work directly with eight diocesan superintendents, and we meet three times a year or as needed to discuss policy issues regarding Catholic education.
Now, Michelle, you're the director of Catholic schools, basically the superintendent of the diocesan Catholic schools for the Diocese of Pittsburgh. Can you tell our listeners this morning, how does the Diocese of Pittsburgh work with Sean in his role with the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference and how the two of you collaborate?
Sure. Well, Sean, as he said, brings together all the superintendents for the dioceses across the state. And he's the glue that kind of holds us together. And we do meet and we do discuss the issues that are going on in our schools and in our government and in education policy in the state. So we collaborate in that way. It was particularly important during COVID because as we started meeting right away. Sean pulled together meetings right away for all of us. And we met weekly for, I think, almost 2 years, right, Sean? It was a long time. We were really meeting almost every week, and then we went monthly and, you know, as needed, as he said. But that was so important because, as most folks know, in a public school setting, superintendents are very close together. So we have, I don't know, over 30 or 40 in Allegheny County that meet on a regular basis. And they're close geographically, so that's a little easier for them. This is just such a great opportunity for us through the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference to meet with our peers and discuss those problems and situations and issues that are important to Catholic education, Catholic schools across the state.
Now, for our listeners who are non-Catholic, a diocese is kind of like a region, kind of like a congressional or congressional representative region. So each diocese has specific counties in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Like the Diocese of Pittsburgh is six counties in western Pennsylvania. So Allegheny, Beaver, Butler, Lawrence, Washington, and Greene County. Then you have the Diocese of Erie, which is like the northwestern point of the Commonwealth. And we have the Diocese of Greensburg towards our east, and Altoona, Johnstown, Harrisburg, Allentown, Scranton, and Philadelphia Archdiocese. So the diocese is like a geographic region. And so all the dioceses in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania have these superintendents that work together, and they collaborate with Sean and the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference. So it's good to have everybody kind of each region obviously is different, but it's also similar. So it's good to have the superintendents and the directors collaborate and meet together, which I think is fantastic. Now, obviously, the need for advocacy and streamlining information took on a whole new meaning during the COVID pandemic, as Michelle encountered. How did the experience of outlining the safety protocols and online learning be helpful? Sean, you want to add, and then Michelle?
Sure. Well, as you know, when the closures came 2 years ago with COVID, we had no idea, just like anyone else, what was going on. The state was scrambling. The federal government was scrambling. We were scrambling. We didn't know what to do. But one of the things that we really shined, Catholic schools, we had a protocol already in place just in case of snow emergency days. So we used that. We had a week of schools of educational programming already put together for all the dioceses. So we used that. And then from there, we just kept on building and building. And it became so important. My role totally changed because I dealt with the federal government a lot more than I usually do. In a given year, I usually deal with government, the federal government, a little bit, but not much. But now, because of COVID, I was dealing with them on an everyday basis. I was finding out information before our state was finding out information for the COVID. I was put on different committees that were formed for the state. So it was so important. I can't thank all my principals, my superintendents, my teachers, all the school staff. They did a tremendous job, and we really shined during COVID. So thanks to all of education folks.
Michelle, you want to add anything?
I just agree wholeheartedly that we were really on top of things, and we kept our schools open. We worked together. We were talking about, I mean, you have to understand. I know everyone understands. This was unprecedented times. So we were really relying on each other, thoughts and ideas and ways to make things happen. And Sean was there we had legal counsel too, helping us. So it was just so critical during COVID.
And as it was noted, a lot of the public schools systems and even some other private schools basically did not go in person as the Catholic schools kids did. And we were really kind of like ahead of the ball game. So kudos to everybody. It was a lot of hard work, and our teachers were so, so flexible and amazing. And our kids, they wanted to be in school. That in-person classroom, you cannot, it's like apples to oranges. So definitely kudos to everybody in those unprecedented times. Now, Sean, the conference meets three times a year, and it has three arms of advocacy: elementary schools, secondary education, and also the social concerns arm. Can you share with our listeners what a typical year of advocacy on a state level looks like, and what are some issues that you're working on this year of 2022-2023?
Sure. A typical year for PCC Education Department, we deal with busing, nursing, textbooks, federal programs, the PIAA, they're the most. We deal with a bunch of others, but they're smaller issues. These are the bigger issues that come to the table. And usually the principal at the school level handles, you know, issues. But if they are state issues or federal issues, then they usually turn to the superintendent. And then the superintendent, if they have any issues, they usually contact me, and I get involved on a statewide level. So we really work well together, and we mesh really well. I've been to every corner of this state over the last 15 years. I've been here for 15 years now, and I go to school board meetings. I go anything I can do to help Catholic schools is what my role is for.
That's fantastic to have a conference like that work together. Now, the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference is made up, of course, of a board of governors and administrative board. Can you tell our listeners, like, who sits on these boards? Is it mixed of lay people, religious? Can you explain to that a little bit?
Sure. Well, our governing board is made up of our bishops in Pennsylvania. All the diocesan bishops are made up of the governing board. And that is just, you know, the bishops. They have the overall sight of the whole PCC. Then we get down to the administrative board. The administrative board is the general vicars, the vicar generals of the diocese, and then also lay people like myself. I don't sit on the administrative board. I'm lower, but what that is, the lay folks are the folks that are considered, you know, what's the names in their field?
Like the professionals.
Yeah, they're professionals and experts in their fields. Mm-hmm. So then they are put on the administrative board, which is sees us on a daily basis, a day-to-day basis.
Michelle, you want to add anything this last minute before we take a break?
No, just the importance. I mean, I don't know that everyone like me realizes how much legislation goes through related to education or is proposed in the field of education. So one of Sean's really important responsibilities is to keep us posted on how those issues impact our schools. And so we can act and we can rally our parents to act in the best interest of Catholic schools. So very important.
Yeah, and because the Commonwealth is such a vast geographic territory, it's nice to bring everybody together. And that way you're all on the same page. Plus you collaborate and get different various inputs, different regions. We have lots more to talk about. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio. We'll be back in a moment. And welcome back to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor at St. Mary Magdalene Parish in the East End, and also the pastor at St. Benedict of Moore Parish in the Hill District. And this morning on our program, we are talking about the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference and how this conference helps collaborate with all the various superintendents in the Catholic school systems across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And with me this morning is Michelle Peduto, our Director of Catholic Schools for the Diocese of Pittsburgh, and Sean McAleer, who is the Director of Education at the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference. And Sean, we have been discussing issues pertaining to education with and how the PCC, the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference, how it helps with us in all the diocesan directors. Let's now turn our attention on a very, very difficult subject to talk to. Obviously, it's the social issues. Experts on Catholic social teaching come together within the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference to educate and shed light into public debates. Can you give us examples of this, Sean?
Sure. For instance, in our schools, the gender identity is probably the biggest issue as we speak. So we get together and we follow our teachings and we try to put together a policy or recommend policies to the diocese. Now they can pick certain aspects of this, and every diocese across United States is doing this same thing. The federal government is passing laws with discriminations that actually could negatively affect our religious teaching. So it's we walk a fine balance, and it's very difficult at this time trying to figure out, you know, what's the best way. We love everyone and we respect everyone, and we have to have that along with our, you know, religious teachings. We're not seeing as many exceptions, religious exemptions to the laws that are coming forward now. So we find ourselves on the defense with almost everything. That's our free and reduced lunch programs, other programs that are offered to all students, not just Catholic school students, but all students. And we find ourselves defending those programs so our children can be involved as well.
Now, Michelle, what kind of social issues has the Diocese of Pittsburgh been experiencing, are there any major concerns that you're hearing from principals and administrators throughout the Diocese of Pittsburgh?
Well, I think the simple answer to that is, what if we watch the news at night, all of those issues that come up on the news that we see in the general population, in the culture, make their way into our Catholic schools in one way or another. So racial justice issues, as Sean mentioned, the gender situation, all of these things come into the schools. And it is our mission to look at all of those issues through our Catholic lens with compassion and love for all peoples, but never disregarding our Catholic teaching and what we're called to communicate to our parents and to our students and to our own teachers and to our own administrators. We must be true to who we are and who we're called to be. So Sean and the folks at PCC, we work together. I mean, that's our group. That's our group to discuss these things and to work on policy that we can recommend to our bishops. And that's the beauty of this this conference. Yes.
Yeah, Michelle, you're right. There is not a day that goes out when you turn on the radio or the TV or pick up the newspaper. There's always, you know, a headline in the news about racial inequalities or the gender issues, the mask issues that we heard about these last 2 years with the COVID pandemic, the school boards, you know, with the parents and families. There's so much hot button issues out there that are really delicate to talk about. But and that's good that the PCC can come together and analyze things. And obviously the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, as I mentioned earlier, is a large territory area, but we're all working together. So it's good that you can bring this group together and talk about it and analyze it and also look at what's the best interest of our students, our faculty, and our staff to give them a good quality education in a Catholic school system, but also, you know, treat others with love and respect. Inequality. Sean, is there anything else you can tell our listeners about what you'd like the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference people to know about?
Sure. Advocacy is one of our biggest issues, because without advocacy, we're not successful. There's over 400 bills, education bills that are introduced on a yearly basis. Over 100 of those affect Catholic schools. So we really need to do well in our advocacy, because legislators, they do listen to us, to PCC and our superintendents, but they also listen to their constituents, which is our parents. And so having them energized and advocate for our issues is extremely helpful. So I can't say enough about advocacy and thanking all the dioceses for helping with building PCC's advocacy group to where it is today.
Michelle, on a local level, how would parents and families become more active or helpful to you or to our principals?
Well, parents have probably received emails from me where I've put out a message from the Catholic Conference asking, especially in emergency situations, you know, please contact your representative. Let them know how you stand on this. So that is a key piece. Just keeping our parents informed as well, because, you know, we all get caught up in the day to day and you can lose sight of what's happening behind the scenes. And so we want to make sure they know what's going on at that legislative level. And we also, I think, in bringing the eight dioceses together, when we talk about these issues too, we are able to be united and provide clarity. And clarity is so important to our parents, to understand exactly what our teachings are, why we have those teachings, where they came from, how they're rooted, always rooted in the love of Jesus Christ. So that's where I'll stop, because that's a good line to stop.
And, you know, as a pastor, I'm a pastor of two parishes here in Pittsburgh, four church buildings, three schools. And I can remember during the COVID pandemic, you know, we were leaning on Bishop Zubik and the Diocese of Pittsburgh to give clarity to the pastors on how to operate the safe measures of the COVID COVID-19 guidelines, with circulation, ventilation systems, cleanliness, mask policy. And it was the Pennsylvania Conference of Catholic Bishops. They had to come together, and so that we were all on the same page as the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, because it varied from state to state with the infection rates. So I could see how, as a pastor, liturgically, you have to be on the same page, but also in the school system, how the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference can really be helpful with the superintendents across the state. So it does make sense to have, to collaborate and to work and utilize your resources, obviously. Now, obviously, there's a website for people that they can look at, Sean, to learn more about the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference.
Yes, Father. And it's the website address is www.pacatholic, all one word, .org. And from there, pacatholic.org. And there they can go on and scroll any kind of our advocacy, our education department, social concerns, or communications departments.
That's great. And this segment's been very, very helpful for me as a Catholic and as a pastor to know that there's really great resources out there for our Catholic school systems. And kudos again to Michelle and to the rest of the director of Catholic schools and superintendents across our Commonwealth, and Sean for really working together. So Mr. Sean McAleer and Michelle Peduto, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Father.
We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio. This week in our Plus segment, we are featuring the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We are in the last day or week of the month of September. And in the Gospel of St. Luke, we hear as Jesus sets forth his teachings about wealth and poverty, he teaches us a parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Wealth can never take the place of God. Only God can save. And in today's parable, Jesus reprimands the Pharisees for ignoring the needs of the poor. And he's trying to teach them to soften their hearts. And God does not expect us to really focus and solve every problem, but God hopes that our hearts will be stirred by the sufferings of our neighbors and to help those in a more just and loving and inclusive world. And this parable of the rich man and Lazarus helps us to open up our eyes and see the need in our midst and to help the poor, the less fortunate, and the lowly. And the rich man and Lazarus, we hear the echoes of the Beatitudes and basic Catholic social teaching. And Jesus is telling us that we must never ignore the suffering and help, but to work to relieve it so that others might lead to healthy lives. So let's reflect on how we can respond to the most vulnerable, open up our eyes, and see the need that's in our midst. Thank you for listening to Catholic Education Plus. We'll see you in 2 weeks here on KDK Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.